welcome to a hidden face of me and Andrew episode of a Colts podcast. My name's Brandon, and I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. How you doing, sir? It's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke to the people. How's your week off?
Week off wasn't really a week off because, I mean, we're diving headfirst into all this draft stuff. It's draft season. Everyone's getting pumped up about, I think everyone's just ready for it to be here. We're 15 days out now from round one, and the Colts don't even pick in round one. So really excited, though, about the upcoming prospects of what the Colts can really get in this draft, both on the offensive side of the ball, which we're going to focus on today, and the defensive side of the ball. I think there's a lot of good prospects that can really make this team better, and this is always where the Colts shine. It's draft season, and excited to talk to you about it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Had a busy couple of weeks myself. Not really a week off, that's for sure. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about the draft a little bit. I agree. We do shine in this time. You know, we're the team everybody's talking about during the draft. And then we'll see if this year it translates into a little more positive outcome for the end of the season. Real quick, Andrew, let's go ahead and share with the fans the Indy Draft Guide again. Link's going to be in the bio. But we're talking draft today, so we're going to be referencing the draft guide today. Promo code DRAFT.
Promo code DRAFT.
Get $1 off when you go to that link and download that PDF. Wonderful thing. Looked at it a lot and excited to dig into some of those offensive prospects. But today, Andrew, we all know I'm no expert on the draft. It's not my specialty, but I'm real good at talking, you know, to you in a way that gets you to talk about it productively. And then we're going to go ahead and introduce our special guest of the day. Lead analyst for SI Colts, film guy for the Mile High Huddle, contributor to Cover One, husband of the Hannah Hicks, Zach Hicks. How are you doing, buddy? Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, all the intro stuff there, just A+. So it's always...
I forgot to mention kicker hater as yes, I was channeling my Pat
McAfee. Put that before husband of
you know, channel my Pat McAfee intro, and that's what he would have brought, and I just totally missed it. That's why he's the best. So I actually left this out on purpose until we brought you on, Zach, because I want to make sure you see this. I want to make sure you see this portion. Go follow us at a Colts podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Zach Hicks, technically a coworker, not a follower of the show or myself. Really? Must be nice to be on that list of people that Zach Hicks follows. I unfollowed him. I said I follow him back as soon as he followed me. I still see every single one of his tweets because everybody else I follow retweets him. He dropped some really good stuff, but I had to bust his balls a little bit. But hey, excited to have you on to talk Colts draft.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't see 90% of the stuff that people say to me on Twitter. So you probably have called me out for it on there. I just don't see it. So I will do that wrap of the show, I promise. But I know I've retweeted some of your guys' stuff before. It's just Twitter, once you get to a certain point with like followers, I'm not trying to trying to dunk on anyone or anything, but once you get
a little humble brag,
you literally don't see like most of the comments because anytime you open the app, it's like 20 plus notifications. I'm like, please leave me alone.
Leave me alone. No, I get it. And I only have a few at a time.
Half of my DMs are hidden from me. They all go to the hidden thing and there'll be someone like asking me like a real question or something and it'll just be hidden and I just never see it.
All right. So let's go ahead and dig in. Colts offensive draft prospects are what we're going to talk about today. Probably the biggest need on this team as we stand at this point with some offseason moves that have been made already. Offensive side of the ball, Colts' biggest needs on offense, I think we could probably all agree, wide receiver, number one, especially with this specific draft and the talent that's there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this wide receiver group. And, you know, because I was going through it earlier, I'm trying to, you know, stack up my personal rankings. And just as a disclaimer for any of you guys who did purchase the draft guide, I did not do all the work in that. I just want to put it out there. There are some people that are being like, oh, this is the Zach Hicks draft guide. All this work is his. No, it is not all my rankings. I could not possibly do 200 something write ups or whatever. It's me and three other guys, and then Andrew, Jake, and Josh helped write up the draft fits and stuff, and helped produce all that. So I'm doing my personal rankings, and you know, stacking this wide receiver group, I don't think there's really many guys who are going to be like wide receiver ones in the NFL when I'm looking at it, but I see so many guys who are going to be really good role players. And you know, given where, you know, some people might be a little torn on if Michael Pittman Jr. is a wide receiver one with the Colts. I mean, certainly last year he played like one while receiving the lion's share of targets. So I think if you view him as a wide receiver one, this wide receiver group is perfect for the Colts. I mean, where you could, you know, take a guy at 42, take a guy at 73, you could even double dip by taking some guys on day three as well, because there are a lot of role players, I think, that are available in this draft. And right now, the Colts don't really have anything besides Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, after relying on Paris Campbell, who, you know, we barely have seen on the football field in his career, and then Ashton Doolin, who has a couple really cool splashy plays. And don't get me wrong, I'm one of the biggest Ashton Doolin fans there is, but I'm not going to rely on him as my wide receiver two or three. So
right.
I think this is the perfect draft where, you know, the Colts can take someone at 42 or at 73. But then also on day three, I mean, there's going to be plenty of guys that can come in and kind of serve an immediate role on this team.
Right. And I would agree with that. I think as far as where the Colts sit, they're not going to be able to get, obviously, the Drake Londons, the Chris Olaves, Garrett Wilsons, but there's a lot of quality depth, especially at the wide receiver group in this draft class. I mean, you're going to have guys that like George Pickens, Alec Pierce, Sky Moore, guys like Wandale Robinson, guys just all Bo Melton, guys all through the second, third, fourth, and so on through the draft that you can take, and they're going to make an impact on your team. So if the Colts, I still think the Colts do go with a wide receiver at 42. There's just too many good bodies there that the Colts can't really pass up on. Maybe they even trade back. We'll see. But looking at the wide receiver group and really only being able to have confidence in Michael Pittman Jr. and also hearing Chris Ballard's remarks at the draft, where he talked specifically about Paris Campbell and said, "We love Paris Campbell. We think he's got great upside, but at this point, can we rely on him to be our number two or number three wide receiver?" He said, "Probably not. He's got to show it." So when he says that, he drops that nugget right there, you know, the Colts are seriously considering all their wide receiver options and are going to be looking seriously at taking one of those guys at 42.
So you both use the word rely on Paris Campbell, and we have not been able to rely on him quite clearly. So to be able to plan on relying on him, I don't think Chris Ballard's that blind, as Andrew just mentioned. Let's say you're on the argument side that Michael Pittman Jr. is not a true wide receiver one. Are there guys in this draft that we could potentially actually get our hands on that could take over a wide receiver one role or be good enough of a wide receiver two that it frees things up for MPJ a little bit?
Yeah, there's one guy who I think might be available. Now, it's trending that he probably won't be, especially because the two teams that have shown the most interest in him are Green Bay and Kansas City, and they both have two picks in the 20s. So I don't think he makes it out of the first round. But personally for me, I think if we're going, if he's healthy this whole last year, he's wide receiver one in this class. And he's slipping because of injury. He's slipping because of maybe some bad quarterback play at Georgia. But George Pickens, I think, is that guy. When you look at rookie receivers that come into this league and what they excel at, you know, you look at your A.J. Browns, your D.K. Metcalfs, your Debo Samuels, you know, early in his career, those guys who are producing at a young age, they excel at route running, getting off the line, and yards after catch. George Pickens can do all of that. George Pickens has the skill set to be a complete receiver. It's just we never really saw him get there in college because of injuries, because of quarterback play. You know, his best quarterback he played with in college was Jake Fromm, who's, I don't even think he's in the NFL anymore, or he's like a third string, I think, for the Giants. So George Pickens, I think, has all the ability and potential to be a number one wide receiver in the NFL. And he also brings that dog mentality that we all love out of Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, if you're if you're stacking the best blockers or just the receivers in this class, the defensive backs line up across from him, they're like, I don't want to face this guy because he's going to wear me down. It's George Pickens. So, I don't think he's going to be there at 42. But I do know, and I kind of actually wrote about this in an article that's going up tomorrow, he would be the Kwity Paye selection for the Colts this year. You know, the Kwity Paye selection where we all say, you know, he's the dream scenario being there at 21.
Yeah.
If George Pickens is there at 42, he's the Kwity Paye pick. You have to run to that podium and you have to get that pick in because you're not going to get a better receiver at 42. And I know there's some people who like Sky Moore and Jahan Dotson. Those guys are good players, but Pickens can be a top receiver in the NFL. It's just, I don't know if he's going to hit that potential, but he has that ability.
Real quick, Andrew, we've gotten lucky the last couple of years, not just with Kwity Paye, but Jonathan Taylor. I mean, that we lucked into that pick. I couldn't believe he was still available. And I think Michael Pittman Jr. is great value where we got him as well. In regards to Pickens, though, he did come back from that ACL injury, correct, after just 8 months. So he should be good to go. When was that? That was in, yeah.
He tore it in March, came back for January. He came back for the last game of the year and then played the whole playoff and then had a 50-something yard catch, you know, coming back from that ACL against Alabama in the championship game, which is one of the freakiest plays we saw from a receiver this whole year. Just an outstanding clip. He's special. He really is special. He's my wide receiver too in this class. I would take him over most of these other guys. But there is a real scenario where he is there at 42. I don't know if it's trending that way, but man, I'm telling you, he is the Kwity Paye selection.
Yeah, and I put Pickens too in my first mock draft that came out this week. I put Pickens there for the Colts at 42. Right. I think if he is available, the Colts sprint the card up and turn it in right away. It's a great analogy, the Kwity Paye selection, because just everything that Pickens does, I think his size, his mentality where he wants to throw the ball in his area, and more than likely he's going to come down with it. While he doesn't have that blazing speed, I think he ran like a 4.47 40, again still coming off the ACL, so he's obviously probably still trying to get his legs under him since he only played a little bit to end the year. But when you turn on the tape, he was running away from guys in the SEC and he was catching deep balls. And when you're going up against that kind of talent, especially that secondary talent in the SEC and winning so many of those balls, it says something. So I know George, I love George Pickens at 42. Another guy that I would love to see, which I think there's actually a better chance that this guy isn't available than Pickens just because of how much he has soared this offseason and through this draft cycle, is Christian Watson. And Zach did an interview with him before, I think it was before the combine or sometime around there. Guy is a massive. He's 6'5", I think, 6'4", runs a 4.3 40. The dude, while he's coming from a smaller school in North Dakota State, you can't deny his athletic ability. And I think even though he is coming from a small school in an FCS competition, it's not going to take him long to adjust to the NFL game. And I think he has all of the traits that the Colts are looking for with size and speed and length, everything like that. I think Watson goes probably in the first round where Pickens might slip to that area where the Colts could possibly take him. Obviously, I think the Bears are probably going to be interested in Pickens as well at 39. But that's what makes the draft so exciting, is you don't know exactly how it's all going to shake out. And there's so many prospects, especially at the wide receiver position, that I think really fit with the Colts and fit as a complement to Michael Pittman Jr. on the other side, that it can give Matt Ryan two legitimate threats outside that he can really go to.
Right, right. And the one thing I want to add about Pickens, just because we're going all in on Pickens, we're doing what Matt asked, and we have to appease Matt because he's the most avid podcast listener. If you look back at 2020, even 2021, Roger McCreary is one of the best corners in college football. Roger McCreary from Auburn, one of the most competitive. He, you know, gets on receivers. I mean, look what he did to Ja'Marr Chase in 2020. Not saying he killed him, but he was up there with Ja'Marr Chase all game long. He was up there with all these top receivers. George Pickens was the only guy where it was easy against Roger McCreary. And in college Roger McCreary, I don't know what he's going to be in the NFL, but college Roger McCreary was a great corner. And George Pickens just had his way with him. Mm-hmm. That's when you could tell, you know, again, I don't try to put the SEC bias up higher, but when you have a guy like Pickens who as a freshman came in and had 750 yards in the SEC and then followed it up with, you know, whenever he played in his sophomore season, he was great as well. that's when you know a guy can compete in the NFL. So that's why I'm so high on Pickens. I think he's just going to be a star receiver. And again, if he's there at 42, you run up there, you get it done.
Yeah. It's hard not to put those SEC guys so high up as well, because that's how the people in the NFL view it. That's how everybody talks about the SEC during college football. And I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but aside from Clemson, who's won the last 5 national championship games?
Should all be SEC.
SEC, yeah. I would assume, right?
Yeah, so Georgia and LSU.
There's a reason for it, because they get the top guys. So any other – oh, you know what? One more thing. I don't think we really have much of the capital for it, but if we're in love with Pickens, is there any way we try to trade up? I know we're not going to get up into the 20s most likely, but maybe late 30s, early 30s if Pickens is still there. Any chance of that?
I do it. You know, what people don't realize with Ballard is, you know, we always say like, oh, he trades down all the time, which he does. He loves to add picks. Yeah. But when there's a player he wants, he goes up and gets him. I mean, Tyquan Lewis in 2018, Kari Willis, he gave up 2 late fourth round picks to move up to an early fourth round pick to get Kari Willis because they had a day 2 grade on him. So they were shocked when he was there in round 4. And also with Jonathan Taylor, what, he moved up like, what, 2 spots for Jonathan Taylor?
I think he moved up 3 spots with the Browns and grabbed Taylor.
Yeah, I think he was jumping the Texans or Washington. It was one of those 2 that wanted him. So Ballard, when he identifies a guy that he thinks can be a difference maker, he's going to go up and get it. And honestly, it's worked out pretty much every time. So, you know, if Pickens is there at 38 or 37, and like Andrew said, the Bears are there at 39, and you know the Bears might be a threat, I could totally see him making that move to just go up a little bit and get him. Because, again, Pickens is that guy.
I like this question by Stats Matt, basically the third host of a Colts podcast here. He asked the question, think Pierce slips to the third if we can't get our guy in the second, we trade back or get a tackle instead. I, from everything I've just been seeing, I think Pierce has a chance to make it into the second round, because I think NFL teams are really starting to look at Pierce and think, I mean, this guy's a stud. They're looking at the tape, and I know we've had conversations, Zach and I, about Pierce's ability and how he would just fit within this Colts offense. And he almost is like a Jordy Nelson light. I've seen that comparison a lot, and I tend to agree with it. He's got incredible athletic ability. He can win deep, and that's something that the Colts are really looking at, is trying to find a receiver that can win deep, make more explosive plays down the field, and Pierce is exactly that. So if Pierce does slip to the third and makes it to 73, I mean, I'd be all in. Even if the Colts do take Pickens or another wide receiver at 42, I'd love to see Pierce in a Colts uniform.
Yeah, I know. Alec Pierce's stock is definitely soaring since the combine. I mean, that combine performance was outstanding by him. I'm actually cool with a couple people who are close with him, and I've heard anywhere from mid to late second to early third. It's kind of that range for him. And it's funny, you know, early in the process, I was going on some podcasts, and I was saying that, like, Pierce was my number one receiver in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. Pierce was always one of my top guys. I mean, I always had a late 2, early 3 grade on him. And now it feels like I'm low on him compared to the consensus, when I was much higher on him than almost everybody else throughout the whole thing. So Pierce, I think, is a DJ Chark type to me. I think he's an excellent deep threat. I think he's going to be very valuable early on down the field. I don't know how good he can be underneath, but, you know, if you're one trick, if you're a one trick pony and your one trick is great, I don't care what else you do. You know, DK Metcalf's the perfect example of that. DK Metcalf runs 3 routes, but he's like the best in the league at all 3 of those routes. So he's a great receiver. I think Alec Pierce is going to be a great role player. And I know the Colts have a 3rd round grade on him, and they're hoping he's there at 73. But again, from everything I've heard, I don't know if he'll be there. He might be a great, you know, if they're at 42 and the Colts trade back to maybe the 60s or something, that might be a good spot where they grab him.
Any other wide receivers you gentlemen like to discuss?
I mean, there's some day 3 guys I know the Colts are really high on. Velus Jones Jr., who his stock is soaring right now. And I was talking with his agent. His agent and I go pretty far back. And I was joking with him saying he's getting the Deebo Samuel love, because of all the receivers in this class, Velus Jones Jr. is the most like Deebo Samuel. Now, he's nothing. He's not even close to what Deebo Samuel is. I want to put this out there. Don't clip that one little part there and make it seem like I'm saying, you know, because I think he's actually even older than Debo. So I don't even know if, you know, he's ever going to get to that level. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about a guy who's, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 205, 210 pounds, runs 4.3, he could play a little running back, great on special teams. That's Velus Jones Jr. But I've heard his stock has kind of gone up to maybe late third, which that's a little high for me. Again, a 25-year-old rookie who never really had was that productive in college. It's a little high for me, but I know the Colts and a lot of teams are high on him. He's had 20-plus top 30 visits. Teams are crazy about him. But some other guys I know the Colts are interested in, which I think would be good gadget kind of, you know, role players for the team, would be Danny Gray out of SMU, 4.3 speed guy, and Bo Melton from Rutgers, who Andrew mentioned a little earlier. Bo Melton's a freaky athlete who can play in the slot. There's a lot of good players they could grab on day three, though. But yeah, Velus Jones, I know we've been kind of, you know, Colts fans kind of get a little excited about that one, but whew, his stock is soaring right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I put Danny Gray as my fourth round, as my Colts fourth round pick in my mock draft, and it was very close because I do think the Colts will double dip at wide receiver. And I gave the edge to Danny Gray over Bo Melton strictly because of the size. I mean, Danny Gray is a little bit bigger. He's still got he's very fast. I think he ran either a 4.33 or 4.36 at the 40. And he's, even though he measured or he weighed at like 186 at the combine, at his pro day, he was up to 197. So I think he's trying to put on muscle, trying to put on a little bit of mass to kind of help that size. He's at 6 foot. Bo Melton's a little bit smaller. The Colts do take shots on those smaller guys or the guys that don't necessarily fit the physical attributes they want on day three. But I think if you can find a guy with that speed and the size, I think that might give him a little bit of edge. I'm a really big fan of Danny Gray.
We need a Zach Pascal replacement as well. Mm-hmm. So
if you want the perfect Zach Pascal replacement, now this guy is 40. It's nothing to be excited about. Honestly, all of his athletic testing is not good. but Dontario Drummond out of Ole Miss ran a 4.6. I'm not a huge fan of him.
But if you want a Zach Pascal replacement, I got this unathletic, slow guy for you.
So he's like 6'2", like 220. He's a brick. He's a straight brick out there. He plays in the slot. He knows that. I mean, he just gets open. I mean, again, SEC guy who is productive. I don't care if you run a 4.8. If you're productive in the SEC, I'm at least going to look at you. But no, he's always willing to get in there and scrap and hit and get in there. No, David Bell is not a Zach Pascal guy. David Bell is a little more finesse than – he's just slow. David Bell's a little more finesse. No, Drummond's a guy who's scrappy and will get in your face and do all that. But again, if they draft George Pickens, you kind of replace the blocking that you lost in Zach Pascal because George Pickens gets after it too. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. The blocking is important. All right. Zach, what would you guess we have next at in the importance level on the offensive draft needs?
Oh, I think they really want a tight end. You know, when I look at this tight end class, there's a lot of guys I look at where I'm like, oh, you know, get another pass catcher, get another dynamic player. But I think something that's kind of being slept on is, you know, the Colts lost a traditional Y tight end in Jack Doyle. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they go maybe a veteran and free agent or maybe like a late day three pick to replace that role. But I don't know. I feel like they want to get another player like that. I don't know if it's going to be early or late, but you know, when I keep seeing, you know, Ruckert and Trey McBride and stuff mocked to the Colts, I'm like, I don't know. I think maybe like a Cade Otton type, which Kyle mentions right there, a Cade Otton type or a Jake Ferguson, or I think his name's Chase Allen from Iowa State. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys who kind of fit that Y tight end role. So I think tight end's a need. I just don't know what type of tight end is a need for the Colts in this draft.
My guy, Matt, coming in the clutch. Jack Doyle 2.0, Jake Ferguson. I put this in my piece from the way he blocks, from the way he runs routes to the number he wore at Wisconsin, 84.
And the beard too. The beard. Red hair too.
They do. He's the epitome of what Jack Doyle was. And that's why I think that the Colts want to focus in on wide receiver or go try to get a left tackle or a tackle to be a swing tackle, possibly compete with Matt Pryor. You could get Jake Ferguson in the fourth or fifth round and be perfectly comfortable with that. He could step into that Jack Doyle role. And I know I would like to see I mean, Jeremy Rucker, I love Jeremy Rucker. I love Jelani Woods' athletic ability. But you're spot on where they really lost that guy that can come in, play in line, and be a great blocker and be that security blanket where if it's third and eight, the guy can get you 9 yards with solid hands. That's Jake Ferguson. And something else too is we've heard Chris Ballard, we've heard Frank Reich, we've heard multiple of the Colts brass talk this offseason about Kylan Granson and how high they are on Kylan Granson. And I always talk about how there might not come out and say that Kylan Granson is going to have a big role and give you how many touches they want him to have, but they drop these little nuggets all offseason on guys that they really want to get involved. They've done it with Nyheim Hines all offseason. They've been doing it to some degree with Kylan Granson as well. I think they really want to see him take a step up, and they want to give him that opportunity to show he can be that F tight end where the Colts can put him in the slot and he can be that mismatch down the seam. So I know a lot of the Colts fans want to see a Trey McBride, Jeremy Rucker, Jelani Woods, like we were talking about, but don't be surprised if they pass on those and take a more traditional Y tight end towards the later rounds.
Right, right. And again, this is a really old class. I mean, there's guys that are almost at my age in this class. So, I mean, there's guys who graduated high school the same year I did, 24, 25, 26-year-old guys. The advantage of that is you're going to have a lot of these tight ends who have played college football for 5-6 years, who, you know, have been in college weight rooms for that long, who have been working as these Y tight ends for so long and stuff. So I think there's going to be a lot of Y tight end types on day three in this draft. I mean, like I said, Chase Allen from Iowa State, who actually has a connection to the Colts because their offensive coordinator is Tom Manning, who was the tight end coach for the Colts back in 2018. You know, he's a guy who's, I think, 25, 26, really productive college player, but a really sturdy blocker who could come in and kind of be that Jack Doyle role. But yeah, like you and I were kind of just saying there, just to summarize, I mean, the Colts lost one of their tight ends this offseason. And the role that they're probably likely to replace is that role. And, you know, they could see Mo being Mo again, Granson maybe being Granson, but with a bigger role, but they don't have their Doyle. And as much as I would love a Rucker or McBride or Dulcich, I mean, Dulcich is my favorite, you know, I think it's going to be an Otten or a Ferguson or an Allen. You know, I think that's the type they're going to look for. And I don't think it's going to be early. I mean, it's a day three thing, but I do think that's more likely the tight end. I know we're going to get all the people who hate running the football are going to hate that pick, but I'm for it.
I do think if they do take a tight end in the third round, though, this guy's going to be expected to have a big role early.
Right, right.
To the people that hate running the football, we've got the best running back in the league. So we're going to run the football. We're going to do it really well again. And a key to that is going to be a big blocking tight end. That's the only tight, you know, that's the only one we're going to be looking at in this draft. Cause I do agree. We have Mo. Kylan Granson should be, you know, the reason we drafted him was his athleticism, and his freakish ability.
Definitely didn't draft Kylan Granson to be a blocker.
No, we did not.
I mean, any part of his film, you could definitely tell that he was not drafted to be a blocker.
I mean, he's a former wide receiver. So he was brought here strictly for his athletic ability and to try to be that mismatched tight end.
Right.
Kyle Stewart asks about Bellinger late.
Yeah, again, that's more of your move tight end there. If they want to take a shot on that role and just kind of have Mo move into the Jack Doyle role, then yeah, I think he could fit. I mean, once you get to day three, the shots come in. And that's when all rules are kind of out the window. And you just kind of go for who you think the best players are. And I think there's definitely a scenario where Bellinger's the best player available on day three.
Bellinger, I think he, of those move tight ends, he's one of the better ones at blocking. Just watching his film and watching how, and just listening to how hard he works at his blocking as well, he makes it a priority where some of the other guys focus more on their receiving. He's more of a professional type where he wants to have a very well-rounded game. So I like Bellinger as a prospect on day three.
Alrighty, boys, we're moving along to the offensive tackle position, offensive line depth. I think some people are going to be surprised when listening to this, that wasn't our, at least our number two, in regards to the tackle. But Andrew and I have talked a lot about it a lot. I don't know how you feel about Pryor, Zach, but I mean, he really stepped up this past year, and I think the Colts are pretty confident in having him as a starter. But I do think it could be a position that we address. What say you, Zach Hicks?
You know, yeah, I Matt Pryor, I think I'm confident in his ability. I think he can be a fine starter, but I totally get wanting to upgrade that position and getting a better starter in there and finally going young at that position too. I think my only drawback as someone who graded offensive tackles for the guide is I don't really think there's that many guys there to take on day two. I think I finished with only, I want to say 7 or 8 grades above day three in this class out of offensive tackles. And I think in 3 of them are those guys who are going to go in the top 10, you know, those 3 superstars. So that leaves what, 5 guys, and Penning's also going to go early in the first. That leaves 4 guys to potentially take. And even then, like, I think 2 of them have only played right tackle, and Abraham Lucas and Daniel Faeli, or however you say his name. I still haven't figured out how to say his name. I've just been writing it a lot. I haven't figured out how to say it. So it's just a tough class to get that future at left tackle, you know, maybe in round 3, because again, Abraham Lucas, I think his profile mixes well for a guy who could switch over to left tackle and play well. Matt Weletzko out of North Dakota, he's not ready to play anytime soon, but I mean, the athletic traits are amazing. Rasheed Walker is interesting. He's not a great athlete. I mean, that's the biggest thing on film that you're going to come away with thinking that, you know, this is where he's going to struggle in the NFL, but everything else is good. I mean, really strong hands, good run blocker, productive in pass pro when he's not getting beat around the outside. So, you know, they could go offensive tackle early in this class, but I just don't see many guys worth taking up there. And that's why I would put tight end higher, because I think there's, you know, a good handful of tight ends there on day 2 and even on early day 3 where I would take, where these tackles, I mean, if you're not taking – you know, once you get past like Trevor Penning and Bernard Raymond, who's, again, a 25-year-old rookie who's raw, that's a tough sell there. You know, if he's there at 42, you know, taking a 25-year-old tackle at that 42 to develop, that's kind of a tough sell. So I just don't see it. I don't see many guys. I think maybe throwing some shots on day 3 could work. But personally, for me, even though I really want to tackle, I'm a huge offensive line guy. I just don't see it personally.
This draft class is so unique because of the extra year these guys were afforded because of the pandemic and that extra year of eligibility. This is a very old draft class. I mean, you're seeing a lot of guys, like you mentioned, that are 24, 25 years old that come in and but they're still raw because they haven't gotten in an NFL program, haven't been in an NFL weight room, got NFL coaching, things like that. So while the Colts do typically go with older, more developed guys, just because of their age, that's not necessarily the case this year. I do have Abraham Lucas going in the 3rd round to the Colts. That was my pick. If he makes it that far, I don't know if he'll even make it to the 3rd round.
Did you see Garofolo or whatever? I think, is that Garofolo? I think that's how you say his name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He was saying Lucas is climbing up from round 3 to round 2, maybe round 1. I'm like, can you guys just let me be high on somebody? Like,
trying to find your sleeper. High. Yeah.
Dude, and killing me.
For the Colts too, Abraham Lucas would be a great, even if he's not a starter year 1 and he does need to develop. He's got all the athletic traits that the Colts look for as their left tackle: size, arm length, athletic ability. But he spent most of his time at right tackle. He can be that ideal swing tackle option his rookie year, because we saw Braden Smith go down with injuries last year and how crucial it was that we got Julian Davenport out of there and got Matt Pryor in at right tackle. If the Colts do draft Abraham Lucas, then he can take over both of those spots and back up Braden Smith and Matt Pryor. So I think that's just an added bonus. While not only do you have potentially your long-term fix at left tackle in the building and learning, you have a guy that in the short term can be your swing tackle option and really get experience that way. So I think Abraham Lucas would be the ideal fit. But as far as taking one in the 2nd round, again, I wouldn't be surprised, because you know Chris Ballard and his offensive linemen. If a guy is high enough on their draft board, if he's the highest guy above those wide receivers, the Colts are going to take him. I just don't know if I see that, because I feel like if they're going to take a tackle that high, they're going to want the guy to be well-rounded and ready to come in and really push Matt Pryor for the starting job. And I don't think anybody, as far as who would be in the second round available, I don't know if there's any guys that could do that right away.
What about regards to offensive line depth? I know Reed is gone. Seems like we're going Pinter. What about the guard position?
Well, the Colts currently have one backup interior offensive lineman on the roster. It's Will Fries. So unless they expect him, you know, if there's two injuries to play two different positions, the Colts are definitely going to need to add some more on the interior. I think they're going to add some veterans for sure. We'll see some guys that get added that way. But, you know, once you get to day three, interior offensive lineman becomes a need, I think, for this team. Because, mm-hmm. they have nothing there. I think an ideal type of player they could grab is maybe like someone like Jamari Sawyer out of Georgia, a guy who can play left tackle, who can play guard, who can play right tackle. You know, he can be that kind of versatile depth piece who can play across your whole offensive line. So where you can say, you know, hey, this guy we spent a fourth or a fifth round pick on, he's our backup left tackle, but he's also our backup left guard and backup, you know, not center, because Will Fry is probably the backup center. But, you know, there's guys like that. So, you know, I think they could kind of go for that, but I don't think interior offensive line depth is really a huge need. Again, they have Pinter for a couple more years on the cheap. They have Kelly locked up. Mm-hmm. They have Nelson's about to be locked up to a mega deal. So I think they're pretty good in terms of stars. They just need the depth.
Yeah, I could see 6th, 7th round picks on take some flyers on some bigger athletic guys with traits. My 7th round pick was Cordell Volson, a guy out of North Dakota State who played mostly tackle there, but when he comes to the NFL, he transitions better to guard. He's just a big guy. I mean, he locks people up in the running game. He may need some help with it with pass protection, but you don't necessarily need to be the best pass protectors if you're inside and getting help from Ryan Kelly on either side of you. So wherever he would fit in. So I thought that was a nice pick, a nice developmental pick, kind of like a Will Fries, who I know the Colts coaching staff is really high on, a guy that's a ultimate professional and is obsessed really with getting better. So I'm excited to see how Will Fries does this year in a reserve role, if he does get the chance, if one of those interior guys goes down. But yeah, late day three, I think, is where you will see the Colts look to address the offensive line depth.
All right, not to rush, but we got to keep it moving here, Andrew. Classic us, first segment, yeah. Running, you know, 10 to 20 minutes over. let's end with in offensive draft prospects here. Let's end with, do the Colts still consider a quarterback after the Matt Ryan trade? My vote, I think we do consider, but it's got to be the perfect situation. Chris Ballard's not going to overspend. He's not going to, I don't expect him to move up for a guy. It's got to be a real good fit. What do you guys think?
I'm kind of nervous that I keep seeing all these big time mock drafts having the Colts taking a quarterback on day two. Cause I think it's a horrible decision. It doesn't make sense. And I know, you know, I was the first one pining when they traded Carson Wentz, like, okay, this is your chance to trade up into the first, get your young mm-hmm. quarterback and just roll with him. But now that you have Matt Ryan, who's going to be here anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 years, I don't see the point in taking a quarterback in a class that's already pretty weak. Like, it's, you know, we're not talking about this, like, you know, like a lot of these guys who I even like on like day two are maybe career backups. I don't see, you know, taking a quarterback on like day two or day three. I don't really know what that does. I think you're just kind of burning a pick at that point. Now, do I think an undrafted free agent needs to come in and push Ellinger maybe for that backup quarterback spot? Sure. But besides that, I really don't want to spend a pick on a quarterback. I don't even want to spend like a late day three on
I think
a
you put yourself. I think you put yourself in a Jordan Love situation too. If you grab one too early, and I mean, that's just a nightmare of a situation in Green Bay, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think the Colts have shown this offseason that they're still looking to win now. They wouldn't have gone out and gotten Matt Ryan if that was the case. And pushing some of his guaranteed money into next year, that shows he's going to be here at least 2 years. That buys the Colts time. It's really in my opinion, it's shooting themselves in the foot, because it doesn't seem like there is a, especially outside of Pickett and Willis, maybe Ridder. I'm a huge fan of Ridder, but there's still so many question marks on every single one of these prospects. There isn't a bona fide, like, this is a sure thing quarterback. And I don't think with where the Colts are currently, then with how many holes on the roster there currently are, they don't have the luxury of doing that. And when you're talking about next year's quarterback class, when you actually do have a first round pick with guys like, I mean, they probably won't be in the running for Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, but there's guys like Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami or Will Levis out of Kentucky. Those are just a couple of the names in this stacked 2023 draft class that you can have the ability to look at and really go after. So I think the Colts have way more holes to worry about than trying to find a project quarterback and investing high draft capital in them.
Yep, I agree. All right, seems pretty unanimous there. So let's move it along to some Colts free agency news, some new, some old. First, Zach, I forgot to ask you a question we like to ask everybody when they come on, everybody, because we have all these guests. Favorite, or let's say drink of choice, not water.
Talking like something I actually like to drink, or just something I drink a lot.
Alcoholic beverage of choice.
Man, I mean, I'm always a big Moscow Mule type guy. I don't know. Yeah. I like it. It's like my like, if I'm going for anything like higher than a beer, you know. Yeah. But I'm typically just a beer. Like, I just drink some beers, whatever.
What kind of beer?
I typically get Corona Extra. That's what okay. I get. That's light fine. Beers. I don't try to get too messed up, but.
Moscow Mules, also you get to hold the cool mug, you know?
Oh, dude, my wife got me one for Christmas. So I got like a cool mug or whatever. It's not like I make them all the time for myself, but it is a cool mug to have. It stays cold. Cool. It's great.
I feel like I've graduated in my drinking just because I'm becoming more and more of a whiskey guy and trying new whiskeys and becoming kind of a whiskey snob. So I feel like I've graduated.
When did this happen? When did I miss this?
Listen,
last I knew you were a Dirty Shirley kind of guy.
That is absolutely untrue. You're talking to a guy that can knock back 14 Vegas bombs and just keep on going. Allegedly.
All right. Who's to end up? Get out. Anthony Hurt, you've now offended me. Get this out of here with this getting love later stuff. Please, no. Dear God, no. We didn't like him in the draft. Why would we spend money on him now? You know, I don't know why we'd do that. All right. Colts free agency. Big news today. Jim Irsay flew out the jet. The private jet? Who knows?
We don't know.
He's got more than one. Let's get realistic here.
They flew a jet. Wasn't it Justina Anderson? It was like the Colts flew a jet or something. They, I don't know. Like,
he sent the Colts. The Colts sent a jet. And normally jet. When they send a jet, it's the big man's jet.
It's I hope the it's jet. Just some guy named Jet that you just sent out there or something like that. Just
driving him jet. Back in a pickup truck.
Just some guy with slick back hair with like a limo or something. They sent the jet.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But Stephon Gilmore did visit with the Colts today. When the jet is sent, things typically get done. How do you feel about Gilmore? I think, I don't know. He's getting up there in age at a position again where we're like, you know, constantly recycling at least one, which a lot of teams are. But we're getting rid of one old guy and going for another. What do you think, Zach?
Well, yes, they are going from one old guy to another one. But I think when it comes to Gilmore, we haven't seen that drop off in play at all. Yes, he was injured for most of last year. But when he came back, you know, I think he was like 60-something percent of his passes for completions, two picks, two pass deflections. But, you know, he was solid. He was perfectly fine. It wasn't like he fell off a cliff. He wasn't what Xavier Rhodes was early last year for the Colts. So when I kind of look at this and I look at the new scheme they're going towards, which is going to be more man match, it's going to be a lot more single high safety. You know, you're going to want a guy who can, you know, carry those receivers down the field, who can help that safety to where like, hey, if you have a deep safety, like a Julian Blackman, he can shadow the Brandon Faison or the Isaiah Rogers side of the field a little bit more because you have a Stephon Gilmore. So I think Gilmore is a great fit. I think Gilmore is just a really good, oh gosh. I think Gilmore would just be a really good fit in what the Colts want to do. And if you're looking at just a pure personnel standpoint, you know, yes, the Colts downgraded a little bit from Rockyson to Brandon Faison. Rockyson, I'm a lot higher on Yassin than most people, but yes, that's a downgrade. But the major upgrade that Rhodes would be to Stephon Gilmore, I think that kind of makes up for it. Now, will he play a whole season? Who knows? But I think on paper, you know, if you make this a 1 or 2 year deal with heavy incentives, I just think it's a great fit for what this defense needs.
It's that veteran in the room because outside of Kenny Moore, I mean, this is one of the biggest Kenny Moore podcasts you could find. There still isn't that veteran outside corner that you can really trust. And Gilmore would be that. And when we started free agency, I'll admit I was against it because I figured Gilmore would command Jalen Ramsey money. And I think seeing his market or just seeing how free agency's played out, I think he's realized that's just not feasible. So his dollar amount has probably come down, and that's why the Colts are interested. And I think another reason to see that that he would be interested in joining the Colts too is because the Colts are in win now mode. He's not just going to the Jacksonville Jaguars or going back to the Carolina Panthers, teams that are rebuilding. This Colts team has talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, DeForest Buckner, Kenny Moore, Darius Leonard, Yannick Ngakoue, ascending talent in Kwity Paye and Julian Blackman. There's pieces there, and Stephon Gilmore doesn't have to be the guy. He can be one of the guys. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the next few days. Maybe they get it done before the draft. Maybe it happens after the draft. Maybe it doesn't happen at all. But this kind of shows that while people think the Colts are just away from free agency, they're making quite a few moves and still trying to acquire top talent.
I would just say that the last time a top tier corner left New England did not go so well for that corner.
Which corner?
Terrell Revis. I just did not go very well for him. So that's my only fear with the Gilmore is like all of a sudden just because Bill Belichick just knows, right? And I know he was gone for a year, but like you said, he was injured most of it. So who really knows? Hopefully we don't sign him and see the drop off this year.
I mean, stats, Matt, put the stats down there. I mean, they're pretty good on a horrible team. I mean, a horrible team. And you know, he played well. I'm not ready to say he's cooked. He's definitely less cooked than Xavier Rhodes was last year.
Sure. And I'm not calling him cooked. I'm just saying afraid of the drop off just boom, sudden. You know what I mean?
Hey, Belichick's been wrong before. Look at Chandler Jones after he left. True. At Tom Brady after he left.
It can't be much worse than what Xavier Rhodes and the effort Xavier Rhodes was putting out last year where he was just giving up. I mean, he was playing through injury. I will give him that.
Turn it around late.
But some of the effort that we saw in some of the plays, it really turned me off on what Xavier Rhodes had thought he brought to the team.
Yeah, and his relationship with the secondary coach, mm-hmm. not James Rowe, the other secondary coach, led to him getting a little bit too many snaps mm-hmm. last year.
Colts signed former Eagles safety Rodney McLeod, who Andrew said to me has started how many years for the Eagles?
I think he's been the starter for the past six.
It was either
six for the Eagles and four for the Rams or the other way around. But he's, I mean, I saw on Pro Football Focus had a tweet today about Rodney McLeod, and as far as deep coverage passer rating, he's ranked in the top 10 as far as safeties are concerned the past 3 years. So Rodney McLeod, while this signing definitely takes the Colts out of the Tyrann Mathieu sweepstakes, I think Matthew's asking price was just way too high for what the Colts wanted to pay. McLeod's a damn good safety. And when you incorporate him in that three-man rotation with Blackman and Willis, McLeod can get a lot of stuff done. He's a veteran. He's a professional. He's a guy that's going to fit really well in this locker room. I like the signing for the Colts.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan. I have been following his career for years now. Always been a big, big fan of his. And, you know, the play dropped off. He's not what he used to be. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're getting a guy who has been a really good safety for a long time, even if he has dropped off. You're getting him to be your third safety behind your two starters who are younger players. He can play either position. He's typically a deep safety, but he can play in the box a little bit. And he's also just a great human being. just a great human. And we don't ever have to watch Anderson Tejo again. Like, I just, there is no negative to this signing. I'm a huge fan of it. As long as Sendejo never sees the field for an NFL team, especially the Colts again, it's great. So, I mean, yeah, the signing was awesome. I was super happy. I had to throw in a couple Anderson Tejo jokes in my article about him, about McLeod. But yeah, I'm excited that they finally addressed safety depth, because now they have, you know, they have four safeties on the roster who are better than some of the guys they were rolling out last year. Because it was just that bad.
Sendejo again. I just thought,
dude, even King is better than Sendejo. He hasn't played what, two defensive snaps in his whole career?
Two defensive snaps his entire career.
Two better snaps than Sendejo has had in his whole career. Like,
Sendejo would not have liked listening to this podcast towards the end of the year last year, because we were dogging him consistently.
Dude,
wouldn't like listening to it most of the time.
Dude, me and Hag were pretty lenient on, like, even Xavier Rhodes, we were pretty lenient on for most of last year when we were doing our film breakdown of defensive backs. Sendejo sucked, man. He sucks so bad, man. Mm-hmm. So I have no clue how he lasted as a starter as long as he did, man. It was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So McLeod, at the end of the day, no Sendejo. It's all, I'm pumped. I'm pumped about it.
Colts signed former Chiefs safety Armani Watts. I wish that last name had one less letter on the end, and it was a freakish defensive player on the line, but it's not.
Armani Watts, I think, will take over the George Odom role, where he can fill in a pinch. He can be that fourth safety back there, but he's going to be primarily a special teams guy. And he's already been interacting with Colts fans on Twitter. I think Colts fans will generally like this guy. At first, it was all about, well, we wish we would have got the other Chiefs safety. But I think Watts is a good depth signing, and people need to realize that not every signing is going to be a blockbuster signing in free agency. Like, these depth signings absolutely do matter. And it's good to see that the Colts are still addressing these areas and
active
pretty much how they are every single year, even past the draft in free agency.
Yeah, man. Armani Watts and I are going to be getting along pretty well. I mean, I just love the special teamers and the depth guys. So yeah, a guy like this who, again, a plus special teamer, he's actually been a stat stuffer every time he gets in garbage time too. It's really weird that he didn't get more snaps over, you know, they have their own bad safety and Daniel Sorensen over there in Kansas City, who somehow got more snaps than Armani Watts. But I think Watts is a fine player. He's a player I really liked out of the draft a couple years ago, but you know, he didn't have a trait that pushed him above to actually be a starter in the NFL. Not great speed, not great size. But he's just a solid player who gets it done. So I'm never against bringing guys in like that. And, you know, hopefully he can provide what the Colts are doing, what the Colts need out of their fourth safety.
So real question for Zach, kickers or Sendejo tape, which would be your personal hell, Zach?
I mean, I'll watch kicker tape because especially the kicker tape that I put on my live stream where I was drinking coffee, because they were just all misses. Because when kickers miss, it just brings me so much joy. Like, there was no bit of joy with Sendejo's tape. Like, there was no bit of joy.
He laid down he had a few plays where he laid down a little pipe, but other than that, yeah,
I was speared Brady in the back, like, for no reason on a play. Like,
I'm
like,
fine with that.
I don't even like Brady. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like,
listen, I don't like Brady. I dislike Brady. Okay, so I mean, dirty play on him. Oops.
No, spearing. I don't know how he didn't call for it either.
I'm sure Brady was wondering too.
He's like, the only player ever who hits Brady who doesn't get a flag.
I was gonna say, Brady's like, what year did I stop getting all the calls? You know what I mean? Now they just want me out, or what's going on? And last one here: Colts signed Patriots safety special teamer and linebacker Brandon King. That was today, wasn't it?
Officially today.
Officially today, got announced, I think it was yesterday or the day before. But yeah, this is a guy we were talking about who has over like 1,300 special team snaps, and he has two defensive snaps. So this guy is going to be a core special team. You're probably going to fill that Matthew Adams role. Maybe he's active some games, maybe he isn't, but really a special team signing strictly.
He's better than Sendejo. I'll have to keep saying it. You guys have me on an offensive show and I keep saying that Sendejo sucks.
Colts free agency tracker. Running back Marlon Mack signed with Texans. Good for Marlon. I'm just glad he went somewhere. I'm sad it's that dumpster fire, but I'm glad he got signed somewhere.
Maybe he'll actually get a chance to show his talents and be on the field, and we'll get to see him twice a year.
I love Marlon Mack. No one can take away that 2019 season, 1,000-yard season. Nobody can take that away from him. I mean, 1,000 yards with the dumpster fire the Colts had at quarterback. I mean, he just had a great, great season. And you can even go back and watch some of his highlights from that year, and you come away thinking, like, this is a starting run. This is a good starting running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful he can come back from this Achilles injury, even if it is for the Texans. I just know that Achilles injuries, you know, running backs typically don't come back from that.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest success story is Donta Foreman. And he's on his third team since tearing his Achilles. So it's tough. It's tough, man. But I really do hope he can at least kind of find, you know, close to that same form, because he had a great season in 2019. Great dude. I just hope he can get back to it.
Guard Chris Reed signs with the Vikings. That one hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, he's from the Minnesota area. Well, he went to college in the Minnesota area. I think his wife is from the Minnesota area. Her whole family's out there. And they give him a 2-year deal too. I don't think the Colts were going for a 2-year deal with him. So, and he has a good chance to start. I mean, he's probably their best interior player in Minnesota. So, I mean, it just made so much sense for him. And it was fun seeing him play last year. I mean, I was high on him early on, and he kept proving it throughout the whole season. I was so high on him, but great dude. I hit him up after he went over there too. Just a really good dude. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah. And because the Colts are so high on Danny Pinter, they were able to let Chris Reed go. And because that's another thing, the Minnesota Vikings give him that shot to start. And I think the Colts were going to make it an open competition between Reed and Pinter. So having a more concrete opportunity to start, you can't fault Chris Reed for that.
Linebacker Matthew Adams to the Bears. I mean, we talked about him a little bit already. Nothing big there. Defensive tackle Taylor Stallworth to the Chiefs.
It's funny. I thought Matthew Adams was still on the roster like last week. And I went and looked at the roster and I was putting out all the players because I did that little spreadsheet thing on Twitter. And I was like, I guess Matthew Adams like retired or something. I don't know where he is. But yeah, no, he's a free agent. So figures he'd end up back with Eberflus and Taylor Stallworth. You know, I'm happy for him. He was fun last year. That mini like Stallworth breakout for like 2 to 3 games was an absolute blast. That Jets game was so random and so fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping he can get some more playing time there in Kansas City. But the Colts probably wanted to go with someone who, because he's kind of like a tweener, 3-tech and 1-tech guy. I think the Colts probably want some more guys who, you know, are pure definitions of where they're going to be playing.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this next week with our defensive episode, but the interior of the defensive line still definitely could use some work. I kind of talked about this in my piece that came out today about the Colts pass rush and defensive line, and have they done enough? And I do think that's an area that the Colts are still looking at adding talent and depth.
Speaking of defensive tackle, Rob Windsor retires from the NFL. All right.
That poor guy. Man, he had so many bad injuries, and I don't even know how many snaps he played total in the NFL. It was probably single digits, but that's what I mean.
Like 2 or 3. Yeah. It was like 2 or 3.
Six round pick in the 2020 draft. Just couldn't stay healthy.
He ghosted me his rookie year. He ghosted me. I was texting him. We set up a film interview. We were going to talk some ball, and he rescheduled on me, and then he ghosted me, and then he didn't ghost me, and then he ghosted me again. And I was like, all right, man, like, you just enjoy your time.
share your talents with getting a hold of these rookies and new guys with Andrew, so we can snag a couple of them for the show. I'm waiting for Andrew to be like, yeah, I was talking to so-and-so's agent. You know, I need Andrew to step it up.
You gotta sell your soul. You gotta sell your soul to the devil, and then you're good. Like, I mean,
there you go.
Especially with my rookie files series that's coming up this summer. I need to get on that, start making some more connections.
Sell your soul. There we go. That's how you do it. Sell your soul. You know, go the whole Adam Schefter way and just tweet out whatever the agents want you to say.
No kidding.
Yeah, never mind. I'm not going to go into what I was going to say. Hey, Zach, thanks for joining us, man. It was nice to meet you. Look forward to chatting with you in the future. Day two of the draft, maybe drop in for a few minutes. I've got some bad news to share with Andrew about that one. So later. So we're gonna need some help with that little hangout. It's more of a hangout than an episode, but okay, we're gonna need some people that'll be physically able to talk.
All right, which well, my people will be in contact with your people.
Perfect. All right. Perfect. Sounds good. That kicks everybody. Thanks for joining us, man.
See you guys.
Have a good one. Hey, Andrew, by the way, bad news.
What's going on, man?
We'll talk about it later. we're skipping with the next pick. We will talk about that next week. Episode 2 and 3 next week.
That sounds good to me.
All right. Let's go into NFL free agency. How's that sound?
Let's keep it rolling because we went an hour on Colts talk.
We sure did.
It was
NFL
fun.
Free agency. Signings. Buccaneers sign safety Keanu Neal from the Cowboys. Falcons get tight end Anthony Firkser
mm-hmm. There you
from
go.
The Titans. 49ers get wide receiver Marcus Johnson from the Titans. Lions safety Deshaun Elliott from the Ravens. And the Texans sign quarterback Steven Nelson from the Eagles. I was not going to stop for any names that I didn't recognize.
Deshaun Elliott's a pretty good safety for the Lions. Marcus Johnson, former Colt. And Steven Nelson was a guy that before the...
I do remember Marcus Johnson.
Before the Stephon Gilmore news, I thought Steven Nelson could have been a nice option for the Colts. So we'll see. We'll see if Gilmore ends up panning out. But Nelson's a good player.
Now, these names you'll recognize, folks. Re-signings. The Bengals re-signed quarterback Trey Flowers. Good decision by them. Broncos re-signed safety Kareem Jackson.
That Broncos secondary is just absolutely loaded.
Very good. It's been, I mean, that Broncos secondary has been good for years.
Mm-hmm.
Since Aqib Talib was there. Buccaneers re-signed running back Giovanni Bernard.
Giovanni Bernard.
Okay, Ravens re-signed defensive end Calais Campbell, and Saints re-signed safety PJ Williams.
Calais Campbell was a name that the Colts were actually interested in. The Colts were looking at possibly adding Calais Campbell, which can you imagine him along the defensive line with what the Colts have now? Nice. That been a wild signings, but in the end, he ends up going back to Baltimore.
All right. And that was NFL free agency update. Moving along to news around the league. shit, this is, of course, the first one right after I do the voice. Steelers quarterback Dwayne Haskins, this is not new news, died Saturday morning after being struck by a car in South Florida. He was 24 years old. T's and P's to his friends, family. Paris Campbell, very active on Twitter talking about it. Really, really sad news. It was really hard to believe.
Terribly tragic news. I guess he was jogging along the highway when the accident happened, and I mean, when something like this happens, we don't need to talk about the guy's playing career or his struggles in the NFL. I mean, he was an absolute legend at Ohio State, and it did seem like, just from hearing people that were close to him, Dwayne Haskins had a personality and it's just an aura about him that he really cared about his friends, his family, went out of his way to go and make sure to lift them up. So very, very sad, obviously gone way too soon. And definitely thoughts and prayers to his family and friends. Just absolutely tragic news.
This is one of those moments too, that makes me feel bad for ragging on people that I don't even know.
They are people after all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and when we talk about guys play, you know, it's nothing personal. We don't have anything, unless somebody does something absolutely terrible. We don't have anything against these, you know, these football players that play a game. You know, so like Andrew Sendejo, I wish you well. I hope you're doing okay health wise. But I did say some not nice things about Dwayne Haskins, but very sad to hear the news about him. Moving along, Congress says the Washington Commanders appear to have broken financial laws. They owe money to visiting teams and season ticket holders. They were lying to the NFL about ticket sales.
Stats Matt coming in says, news around the league, Washington will be sold the next 2 years after the investigation is over. Over-under, I put it 4.5. I think it could be less than that. I mean, just more and more and more stuff come out about the abysmal Washington Commanders and that terrible human being, Dan Snyder.
You think we could pool our money together and be Washington Commander owners?
Yeah, how much do you think it costs? About $50?
About $50. I'll call you about 5:30 and let you know what I think.
Yeah.
I mean, just be better. You know, first you name your team the Commanders. You let it. I mean, that's last, actually. Imagine the cherry on top of the bad decisions you've made is call your team the Commanders. You know? Terrible name for a football.
Another bad decision was trading for Carson Wentz, but Colts are right there with them. So,
Raiders, good for Derek Carr here. Right off the bat, Raiders and Derek Carr have agreed to a 3-year, $121.5 million extension through 2025. I guess he gets to keep that house he built next to John Gruden. It's pretty exciting news for him.
He's also neighbors with his new wide receiver one in Devontae Adams. But I mean, great for Derek Carr. Love the guy. Love the person. I think he is easily a top 10 to 12 quarterback in this league. He has been making bigger money, but he gets the extension that he wanted and deserves for sticking it out so long with the Raiders franchise.
Yep. Bills and wide receiver Stephon Diggs agree on a 4-year, $104 million extension with $70 million guaranteed. Andrew, have you seen the tweets? Have you seen the Josh Allen tweets?
I don't think I have.
So this is very funny. Someone tweeted about Josh or Stephon Diggs possibly signing with so-and-so or I guess it wouldn't have been signing, but Bill should trade so-and-so or may trade Stephon Diggs for yada, yada, yada. And Josh Allen just quotes it and says, no. and then after the extension, he quotes, he says, yes. And I saw both of those randomly too. I didn't like see a post about it. I saw those on my own, which was very enjoyable.
A man of few words, but he gets his point across. I mean, the big money for wide receivers just keeps on coming. I think I saw Dan Orlovsky tweeted the other day that the average of the top 10 highest paid positions in the league, and number two is wide receiver now. And so the league is changing. It's no longer quarterback edge rusher. It's quarterback wide receiver edge rusher. And
yeah,
this is something that, I mean, I've been against paying wide receivers for so long, especially with how many good wide receivers are churned out in the draft each year.
Yeah.
But the elite guys are making incredible money and really as they should.
And honest to God, Stephon Diggs is one of the reasons for that. When he left Minnesota for the Bills, that was a big deal. And I think that was kind of a catalyst. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the team that somebody was talking about was the Cowboys so that him and his brother could play together. And
Trayvon Diggs. Yeah.
Josh said no. Hilarious. Bills, Dolphins. Oh, and quarterback Xavien Howard finally agree on a 5-year, $50.6 million extension.
Tyler's going to be happy about this one. Xavien Howard, fantastic cornerback, and now they lock him up long term. So good deal for Howard.
Texans and wide receiver Brandon Cooks agree on a 2-year, $39.6 million extension. That's about how much money you'd have to pay me to keep me in Houston.
Brandon Cooks, I mean, that dude continues to make good money. And I know I wouldn't place him in the upper echelon of wide receiver. He's a good wide receiver. I wouldn't say great, but I mean, the Texans have to spend their money on someone.
He's one of the best in the last 10 years, 10 to 15 years at his specific skill set.
I'd agree with that.
Dolphins trade wide receiver Devontae Parker and a 2022 fifth round pick to the Patriots for a 2023 third round pick. Shit. I just processed that. I had not heard that yet. You know, I like to be surprised during the show. That's why I try to stay behind on the news.
Right. Now, I mean, me, you, and I talked about how the Colts had some interest in Devontae Parker, but I mean, Chris Ballard isn't giving a third round pick up for Devontae Parker. So if the Patriots are willing to give that up, I mean, go right ahead.
Eagles trade 2022 first round picks, 16 and 19 overall, and a 2022 sixth round pick to the Saints for a 2022 first round pick, 18 overall, a 2023 first round pick, a 2024 second round pick, and a 2022 third round pick, and a 2022 seventh round pick. I cannot believe you put this in here and made me read that.
I like to see it. Have to slow down and
go. A lot of trades were, a lot of picks were traded.
Listen,
between the Eagles and the Saints.
The main point about this is, and I think we saw this, is the Eagles got quite a bit, but the Eagles still kept two first round picks, and the Saints got another first round pick. I will bet money right here on this show. I'll put $20 too. If it's this doesn't work, we'll give it out to one of our listeners. One of those two teams, the Eagles or the Saints, are going to use those two picks and go up and get a quarterback.
Yeah, I can believe that. It'll happen draft night too.
Yep.
Yeah. Former Texans and Packers linebacker Whitney Mercilus retires after 10 seasons. That poor guy. He was a big, big prospect coming in the NFL. Just could not get over the injuries, which worked out for us pretty well. But that guy just couldn't stay healthy.
When he was healthy, he definitely terrorized the Colts. I remember him making plays multiple games against Indianapolis. So he had a hell of a career. And I do think when he was healthy, he was one of the better linebackers in the league.
Yep. All right. Wrap it up. Go follow us. You know where. At a Colts podcast, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the places. Sorry to, you know, rush it through. But Andrew,
hey, dude,
that kicks. You can talk, pal. You can talk right up there with the best of them, a.k.a. Andrew Moore.
Hey, go buy the Indie Draft Guide.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on pulling up here.
$8.99 with the code DRAFT, and you get 225 write-ups on all the prospects, our rankings, Bill-to-Ballard's interviews, my write-ups, Brandon.
It's very, it's very well put together, guys. I was looking through it today, literally just today, and I mean, it's really well put together. I assume the beast, the Brugler beast, was the inspiration for this draft guide, Andrew.
In a way, there are definitely more draft guides that are put out. Brugler's is just
the most comprehensive,
with literally thousands of prospects, but this one is centered to the Colts and how these players would fit within Indy. So go check it out.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us at Zach Hicks, whatever his handle is. And look forward to having him on another time. And until next time, everybody, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.